Hey, everybody. It's Matt.
Hey, it's Scott.
Hey, it's Adam.
And we just wanted to welcome you to the first of hopefully many podcasts where we talk about this new project. Nobody knows the Shadowboxers but you. The Shadowboxers are starting a new thing, and it's a podcast, and it's about a mixtape that we're cumulatively dropping.
Which, so we're starting two new things, but they're the same thing.
Yes.
This is a good platform for us. If you know us at all, you know we've always been long form guys.
We have always been long form cats. So we're starting this project today, which is a project that's many years in the making. We have wanted to do something like this for a really long time. Essentially, the idea came to us because we realized we had, you know, not just a catalog of songs that we've co-written over the years and co-produced over the years that, you know, are just sitting in a hard drive, but songs that we love that are sitting in a hard drive, songs that we wish were out in the world. And we were just sort of like, why have these songs aren't doing anybody any good? No one else is going to play them. And it doesn't matter that they maybe didn't fit the vibe of the last record. We should start a project that's like the antithesis of our last record, which we felt was like a very cohesive concept. Let's just start basically a cumulative playlist where each of us goes around the horn and picks a song every other week or every other couple weeks that they're passionate about, that they want to champion, that we can then release as this new project, which we are going to call Nobody Knows the Shadowboxers But You, because you're our fans and this is for you. And Adam?
It's also for us.
And it's also for us.
Because as Matt has eloquently said, when you're in a band with three songwriters, you know, there's a lot of material that gets written. And when you're in a band with three songwriters who only have put out a small amount of albums over the years, the amount of songs that get placed decreases, right? Like dramatically. So this gives us an opportunity to sort of, you know, individually just say like, no, you know what? I want this one to come out. And our democratic process has served us really, really well in terms of like helping to create a cohesive vision. But we write a lot of songs that fall outside of that vision that we don't feel are of any lower quality than those. It's just, you know, we've wanted to create a certain concept or a certain style or whatever it may be. And this gives us a chance to just sort of pick favorites of stuff we've written or stuff someone else has written or things we've recorded over the years.
So this is kind of fun for us. We're going to do it in Matt, Adam, Scott order, I believe, is how we've laid it out.
The mass order.
Yeah, MAS, baby. And we will be rotating through, and each month or so we will be releasing a new song, and whose ever pick it was that month will stand behind it, talk about why he picked that song, and we'll do a podcast for each episode explaining the song, the story behind it, and how it came to be.
So to start things off, my first pick, which was a no-brainer for me, is a song called Slow Motion Doves.
I thought you were going to leave some space for a drum roll there. You didn't.
We could throw
right into it.
Yeah, we could throw a drum roll in later.
You just dove in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna put a drum roll over the top of you saying the title so no one can hear it.
Perfect.
Well, everyone already knows that it's
right.
Everyone already knows that it's out though. So,
but we can still put the drum roll in. I want a really long, like the top key on the keyboard, the last patch preset.
Mm-hmm.
That's always sound effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. Helicopter noise, gunshots, lasers, but mostly just a drum roll.
Yep.
So anyway, I get to go first. This was an easy pick for me. This is a song that actually almost got released as a single back in 2019, almost for the Slow March of Time, and then we were like, this makes absolutely no sense for this record. But this is a song that was written in September of 2018. We had finished the Man of the Woods tour. We had gotten back. We all took a little break. And then we were back in Nashville with like 3 months before we moved to LA. I wanted to try to get some co-writing in after, you know, touring behind the Apollo EP and focusing on music like that for a really long time. I wanted to sort of, we were all excited to sort of explore and get started on like the next stage of music. So I reached out to our development company, and Joe Fisher actually set up this co-write with a girl who's now a friend of mine, who's just a huge ball of energy, Bobby Allen. And very last minute, as my buddy Sammy recalled to me today, got a producer in on the co-write as well. My buddy Sammy Martin. Shout out to Sammy. And we met up at a writer's room in Nashville.
Just for the record, Sammy actually produced the first single off of The Slow March of Time.
That's right. That's right. Sammy co-produced In the Dark, which we co-wrote with our friend CC Ward. I remember meeting these two people, Sammy and Bobby. And for those who have never co-written before, co-writing is a lot like a date. You sort of flirt and drink coffee or soda for the first hour and talk about each other and learn about each other's lives.
Just want to talk about how you, on dates, I guess you drink soda for an hour.
Yeah, and they're with two other people.
With two people, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a strictly sober threesome dating app.
What's it called? There's a great opportunity for you to make a joke here.
Adam, I feel like this is your wheelhouse.
Oh, Jesus.
Dating app, strictly for threesomes, strictly sober.
It would probably be a pun on crowd, like three's a crowd, and then you could say like three's a...
Could it be Crowder?
Crowder. For the orgies and swingers among us. But no E.
No.
No.
Never yeah, get those vowels.
Yeah,
never any. Get like Grindr.
A couple of vowels out of there.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Grindr. Just like Grindr. It's Grindr.
Also, do you say soda?
As
what
opposed
do you
to
say,
pop?
Scott?
I just say Coke for everything.
Wait, yeah. What?
That's a Southern thing. That's a Southern
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soda to you is just Coke?
So you're like, can I have a Coke? And they're like, sure. And they bring you a Sprite?
No, I would specify. I would say, I would like a Sprite, please.
But that's not a clear Coke?
No, but if I was to just talk about the carbonated beverage space, I would say, you know, you get a Coke and you get a this and a that.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the three of us finished our grouper date. Oh, wait. Yeah, grouper. And
Crowder. But Crowder. Grouper's funny. Crowder. Grouper's funnier.
Right.
It's like because of the fish.
There is a grouper, or that's Groupon.
That's Groupon. Groupon.
Yeah.
Right.
$12 for a hot air balloon ride.
Yeah. Or like, here's 75% off a trip to the dentist. It's like, no. I want to pay full price for that.
So we finished our Crowder date. Oh, so we were talking about what music was influencing us. This was 2018. So Bobby was really into the second most recent 1975 record. And she was talking about I'd Love It If We Made It and how it was so similar to like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. And she just was obsessed with the lyrics. And at the time, I was really obsessed with Two Time, which I thought did a really like impressive job of putting in almost like a dancehall beat into a rock pop song. And so we started to shoot for that. Also, Drake's One Dance was big at the time, and I was just really into it. That's why I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me. And I did a thing that's, I think, a country move, which is I looked at my title pages. I have like a note on my phone that's all titles. And I had this title, Slow Motion Doves. And we just started talking about like what that could mean for a song. And we landed on the sort of completely overly romanticized, like an overly romanticized sense of love, like you see in rom-coms or in movies that we all love. And like why, and we talked about, you know, why that's something that's so appealing to people. And that's how the lyrics to the chorus came together. We were directly referencing, I want love, I want to kiss Mary Jane from above, was not a weed reference. It was a reference to Spider-Man 1 where...
Everyone knows that.
But everyone knows that.
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey freaking Maguire. And and Such Great Heights was also a reference to...
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. No, it was a reference to the soundtrack of...
Garden State.
There it is, which was such an iconic soundtrack about for a really, you know, awesome rom-com.
It's a rom.
It's not so much a com. We sort of got the vibe down. We broke for lunch. We came back and we...
Thanks for pointing out that you broke for lunch.
Yeah. Do you remember what you got?
Yeah, that's also... I just want people to know that's a really common thing. You sort of get halfway through the song. Everybody looks around and we're like, all right, that's good enough for now. Burrito bowls?
I actually dropped in. This is when I dropped in. You guys went to a Mexican spot on in Germantown.
Shout out to Little Donkey, best habanero sauce in the game. Adam, you guys got bottles of that stuff, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to just go on the record as apologizing to Little Donkey. We stole a number of bottles off of that table.
Get it off your chest, big guy.
They were rapidly consumed.
Mm-hmm. So we broke.
Sorry, Little Donkey.
And I couldn't remember if this was the same session, but or if you came back on another day. But we had verse, pre, chorus, verse, and then the same pre, chorus. And that was when Scotty came in.
Yeah, you had already gotten a demo and played it for Adam and I, and we loved it. I mean, it's like such a... I mean, the chorus is so like obviously hitting. So then he kicked it over to Adam and I to just get our thoughts and get our input, and I added harmonies and ad-libs and things, and then suggested that we give the second pre-chorus another look, so we changed that up.
For the record, I had no idea what solitaire rings were. I remember you brought that in, and you were like, I think that's a thing. I think solitaire rings is a thing.
I just needed a three-syllable ring, but I think it works. And it also is cool because of the double play on the double meaning of solitaire, like just solitary and the theme of the song being about loneliness, and so that played, I thought. But I also like it just because it set up the second chorus so well. And I thought it gave a little bit of tempo to an otherwise lethargic melody in a good way, which was called for in the first verse and first pre, because you didn't have that beat yet. So you were kind of being lulled into the synth lushness that is created. And then once it kicks in the first chorus, I think then you already have that and now we can get something else. And some of the things that we've learned over the years, we love like playing around with the second verse because traditionally the first and second verse are similar. But I don't know, we always have the song in mind, but we feel a lot more liberty as songwriters because we've done it often enough that I think we can try, you know, ditching a pre-chorus or a verse in the second time around and trying something, just see if we can slip another melody or two in.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Adam.
What's the greatest second verse of all time?
I'm going to think on that because I know it's something you wouldn't have asked it if I didn't have a quick answer, but I don't have it right now, but I'm going to kick it to Matt and I'm going to try and think of it.
You know it.
I think I know what answer you want for Scott from Scott. But
there's it's not what I want. There's a correct answer.
Right.
What is it?
I have no opinion on this.
I thought it was Lady in My Life by Michael
Jackson.
That's
right. Oh. Yeah. That's correct.
Correct. Lady in My
correct
Life.
Correct answer. What is Lady in My Life?
My tenderness. Let's make this a night we won't forget.
Anyway, Scott, this was a really good example of like, I was really happy with where the song was coming, was headed, and Scott came in and was like, I love this, but I really do feel like there's something we can do to improve this right here. And he came in and he changed that pre-chorus, and it like made the song for me. It added to the dynamics and the energy. It allowed the energy of the song, I think, to just build in a really proper way. And the solitaire lyric, I think, is also great.
Oh, I just want to say thanks. But also, I think it's really hard when we've learned and we've had a lot of experiences in this over the years, but it's hard to be the... So if one person's the primary songwriter, being the other two guys in that scenario, you want to allow the primary songwriter to get his vision across and respect that. But it's also weird to sit on your hands as a songwriter yourself. So I, at the time, felt strongly about this, but about like changing this because I thought it would help. But I was thinking that oftentimes I think you want to get your hands on it so bad that you maybe, because it feels like that's what you should do, that you maybe end up doing something that's unnecessary. And I think in this instance, I think we got it right, but I've noticed a lot of the times that I have to check myself. There are some times where I probably should just sit on my hands and let somebody just take it instead of trying to reach and touch it in some way, just to say that I touched it. And yeah, that's
a hard thing.
It's a really hard thing. 'Cause we all have opinions and changing something doesn't make it better. all the time.
Yeah.
So
it's especially hard when one of us brings in something that's like pretty fleshed out.
Yeah.
And you know, they're not just saying, what do you think? They're saying it's or you can't just listen to it from a perspective of like, what do I think of this song? You're listening to it with that in mind, but also like, what could I add to this song? Which is not something you think about whenever you listen to, like, you know, any artist on Spotify. You're not thinking, what could I add to, I don't know, it's to this Kendrick track. No, you just listen to it. And it's hard when one of your bandmates brings in like an unfinished product. You're not just listening to it like with just a listener hat on.
Yeah. So it's tricky. Like, as we've gotten better at this and are able to flesh out our ideas more, then you kind of need to measure how much, because momentum is a very real thing. And I think a song in a way feels it. I know that's an inanimate object, but a song can feel when it has that momentum and there's just a spark around it. And so you, if you can live with something, you try to, and you know.
It really all came together on this song in that way.
And then you also added some incredible guitars, and you also made the crucial decision, which Sammy and I were also talking about today. On the original version of the song, the snare, which comes in halfway through the chorus, is very, it's very much just like an 808. It's like really tight, kind of small. I need the light. I need to search from. And you were the biggest, you spent so much time locking in that snare sound.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it needed to hit you like right between the eyes. And I think ultimately that, like, you know, it helps a little bit with just the overall slap of the thing, because the bass in this chorus is so like absent. The groove works so well because the bass is like choosing not to play most of the notes. So I think having that like consistent slappy snare really helps.
But I think credit to Adam and the things that I brought in provided some value, but I mean, it's all you with this. You and Sammy and Bobby, I mean, you guys really came out with an idea that was 90% there. And the cool thing about being in a band is knowing when you just need to contribute that last 10.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's fun. And in a lot of ways, it's easy because the song's already there. But in a lot of ways, it's hard because you got to get that right 10. And you can kill it in the last, you can trip at the finish line. So it's like a practice and restraint. But yeah, credit to you for a really simple chorus. I think what I love about this song is it's a simple chorus that anyone can know and hum and sing along to. And by the second chorus, you already know it. And it allows, and the song gives you the chorus repeated at the end too. So you can just feel that payoff. And there's one more thing I do want to point out about this song, which is the bridge. So in the initial, so I played it for Kat after we got the demo, and she was like, and anyone who's seen us live, well, anyone who knows us knows that you can rip. And by you, I mean Matt. And I think you are so good at restraint that sometimes if you do get a straightaway, you are careful. And you can't, when you can, put it in a fifth gear and rip it. And it felt to me, in the original demo that Matt recorded and sent to Adam and I remember listening to it with Kat, and we were just like, yeah, right there, he could really dial it up if he wanted to. And I remember there was some pushback from you because you just didn't feel like the song called for it. It's such a like mellow song. And we said, let's just try it. And we went into the studio and I remember we
turned the lights down low.
Yeah, we did. And we really coached you in a way that it usually doesn't need to happen. Like, it sounds, we're not your coaches, but it was like something that we just wanted to see if it was there. And you kept like reluctantly just delivering these like just powerful performances. And then you kind of found it your own way. And I think did something that now allows us to have that peak and then that fall back into the final chorus. So, and a cool harmony setup moment to get us into that. So
you sound breathtaking in that part.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the song,
I think it's
astounding.
Like defining. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great dynamic vocal starting out falsetto. in the verse, and then just right in your pocket throughout the first chorus and second verse, and then we open up on that bridge, and I think it's huge. So yeah,
thanks, my guys. Well, Adam, I'm blushing. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know it. It's insane. It's ridiculous.
Thanks, guys. So
we should probably wrap this up. But as Matt said, we have a lot more of these tracks coming, more of these podcasts each time we release a track. We are super excited about this project, super excited to share some of these gems that we've been living with for a long time that we continue to be very proud of to this day. And we think they stand the test of time, and they do not at all fit under one genre or one theme or one band, maybe could be argued.
Yeah.
But they're all cool in their own right, and we're excited for you guys to hear them. And what's the name of the project again, Matt?
Nobody knows the Shadow Boxers but you.
That's right.
Thanks. Yeah. And with that,
do we have a sign-off for
you? I was just going to say, we have to come up with a great sign-off, guys.
Yeah.
We don't have one, but we'll see you next month for our next release, and we will be discussing who's the second pick.
That's me. We got one lined up.
Yeah.
You want to give any teasers for what we should expect, Adam? Keep them hanging.
Yeah, I think that people know at this point. I mean, it's like over 5 minutes and it's slow. So, you know.
If you know the Shadow Boxers, like the title of this project would suggest, then you will know that Adam is going to pick a very Adam song, and he's going to talk about it in a very Adam way. And we're all excited for that.
You know what it is.
All right, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.